Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, May 20, 2022. Authorities in Jonglei State shut down a private radio station for not airing the speech of the state governor.
Radio Jonglei, when born themselves, to play their own politics that are not even the business. That's why we have to issue such order pending investigation. More will be followed after the investigation when we exactly know their intention. But for now, we have to suspend the radio for a while.
And former Kenyan Prime Minister calls on President Salva Kiir and first Vice President Riek Machar to dialogue.
I want you people to talk as brothers and let the guns go to the barracks. And you let it be protected by civilian police. If you guys do this, nothing will stop us in this region of East Africa from achieving proper integration of this union and realizing the dreams of the founding fathers of this nation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Kenya's presidential hopeful and Africa Union's special envoy for infrastructure development, Raila Odinga, is urging South Sudanese leaders to resolve their differences through peaceful dialogue rather than violence. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Speaking in Juba Thursday during the opening of the Japanese-funded $120 million Freedom Bridge, Kenya's former Prime Minister Raila Odinga had this message for South Sudanese leaders.
I want you people to talk as brothers and let the guns go to the barracks and you let it be protected by civilian police. If you guys do this, nothing will stop us in this region of East Africa from achieving proper integration of this union and realizing the dreams of the founding fathers of this nation.
Odinga says the solution to all of the country's problems lies with South Sudan's leaders.
So I've talked with my brothers here in South Sudan. You have also crisis. But I've told them the solution is here. The solution is not at Addis Ababa, not in Kampala or in Entebbe, not in Nairobi, not in Khartoum. It is right here.
Odinga says Kenya had experienced its own set of political problems after national elections, which could have plunged the neighboring country into crisis. Odinga noted how in 2007 many Kenyan citizens were killed following the disputed elections. And in 2017, Kenya almost plunged into turmoil when the opposition disputed the results of the presidential elections, which involved disagreements between President Uhuru Kenyatta's party and Odinga's camp.
So under those circumstances, we sat down with my brother Uhuru Kenyatta, and we talked. We talked and ultimately said, Kenya is bigger than both of us. So we said we must now have a homegrown solution to our problem. And we talked, we agreed these are the problems which have been ailing our country since independence up to now, and we can resolve them. I said, I'm ready, and he also said he was ready.
At yesterday's bridge opening event, both President Kiir and First Vice President Machar reiterated their commitment to restoring peace and stability in the country and called for collective support from the citizens to move the country forward. Machar says despite the slow progress in the implementation of the peace deal, the parties are committed to fully implementing it.
We are committed to peace. The implementation is slow, but we are committed to it, to see that our country become peaceful and become competitive, become prosperous.
President Kiir says he will take Odinga's advice about putting the country on the right path to peace and urged other South Sudanese leaders to do the same. Kiir called on all South Sudanese citizens to support efforts aimed at restoring peace and stability in the country.
I would like to call upon you all to work hard to maintain peace in our country. Having peace will allow us to focus on service delivery and development projects. We will hold up progress.
with less than 9 months to go before the end of the transitional period, full implementation of the 2018 peace deal still lags far behind. Critical aspects of the agreement, like security arrangements, preparation for elections, and work on a permanent constitution, have yet to be fully implemented. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The Association for Media Development in South Sudan is condemning the closure of a local radio station in Jonglei State. Authorities in the state capital Bor shut down Jonglei FM, which is also VOA's affiliate station, indefinitely over what they called breach of government protocols. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
In a letter seen by South Sudan in Focus, Elijah Alier Kwai, the managing director of the South Sudan Media Authority, ordered Jonglei state officials to lift the suspension order on Jonglei Radio with, quote, immediate effect, and let Radio Jonglei resume its normal transmission freely without further interference, end quote. Kwai further states that the station is a registered community radio by law, independent of government, political or commercial forces. Jonglei State Information Minister John Samuel Manyun says he ordered the suspension of Radio Jonglei 95.9 FM because the station did not respect news bulletin protocols and, in his words, undermined the state's leadership. Manyun claimed the station intentionally infringed on government protocols during the celebrations of May 16th Day, a public holiday, which is also called SPLA Day as it commemorates the founding of Sudan's People's Liberation Army in 1983.
It was on 16 years of 39th commemoration of the SPLA Day, whereby Radio Jonglei, when upon themselves to play their own politics that are not even different. That's why we have to issue such order pending investigation. More will be followed after the investigation when we exactly know their intention. But for now, we have to suspend the radio for a while.
Josephine Sachiro, the Secretary General of AMDIS, says the shutdown of Radio Jonglei denied South Sudanese their right to freedom of expression and press freedoms, which are enshrined in South Sudan's transitional constitution.
We really condemn this. It is not a good one. It's not a good one in the history of the radio. Radio Jonglei has been experiencing such situation, closure of the operations from the state authority. We are asking the governor to be a little bit smart. He can ask for explanation. He can ask the management of the radio to explain what had happened. He can even go beyond by asking the station to apologize if in case of any failures, but not to close the radio, because the radio is the voice of voiceless. We give service to the people.
Ashiro H. Jonglei state official to embrace dialogue as a means of resolving issues that led to the station's closure. She says South Sudanese authorities should create a conducive environment for journalists to do their work. In his letter dated May 20th to the Jonglei Minister of Information, Kwai told authorities in Jonglei to desist from interfering with the independent editorial policies of media houses. For VOA News, I am Deng Guiding in Bor.
Sudanese security officials have arrested two members of Communist Party who have been detained in Juba by South Sudanese authorities. The leader of the Sudan Communist Party, Sadiq Yusuf, confirmed that two of their members were picked Thursday by armed men in military uniform upon arrival at the Khartoum International Airport. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese Communist Party leader Sadiq Yusuf says the party's Secretary General Mohamed Mokhtar and its Secretary for External Affairs Saleh Mahmoud were arrested at Khartoum International Airport immediately upon their arrival from Juba last night. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus, Yusuf says the two officials were part of the party's delegation that visited South Sudan this week to meet with SPLM North Faction leader Abdulaziz Al-Hilu and the leader of the Sudan Liberation Movement Abdul Wahid Muhammad Nur. Yusuf says no explanation was given for their arrest.
Saleh Mahmoud was arrested at the airport. Mohammed Mukhtar al-Khatib, the secretary of our party, came to the party premises from the airport and he made a statement. There were journalists in the premises. And when he went home, he found that the military, the security people are there in his house. And they immediately arrested him also.
Party officials Mohammed Mukhtar, Saleh Mahmoud, and Amal Azain were all detained in Juba on Tuesday after returning from a meeting with Al-Hilu in Kauda in the Nuba Mountain. South Sudanese authorities released the three on Wednesday. Yusuf says their members were questioned about the recent visit to Kauda. He says South Sudanese authorities called the trip illegal and said it violated the sovereignty of the country. He says he is glad that the authorities in South Sudan decided to release his colleagues.
They apologized that we were invited by Abdul Wahid and Abdulaziz Al-Hilu, and we thought that the arrangement between them and the government has been taken by the their organization. After that, they came back yesterday. They were not, they were well treated. They were in the hotel, in their hotel, and things like that.
Yusuf says the arrest of the party members in Khartoum is part of the military leaders' crackdown on the political space in Sudan after the October 2021 military coup. He estimates that more than 100 pro-democracy protesters have been killed by the military in Sudan since the coup, but says despite the danger, Sudanese will continue to reject the military takeover and demand a civilian-run government.
They are trying to stay in power by using force, suppressing the demonstrations brutally, injuring the people, and even killing the people. Several people are arrested, several people are injured, and some of them died. And that is why we are fighting to overthrow this military coup to go back to a democratic government.
Sudan's military continues to crack down on protesters. Hundreds have been arrested and remain behind bars without charges. Yusuf says he worries about the safety and health of the detainees, including Communist Party members, and has called for their immediate release.
Of course, we are concerned about their health, their conditions, and the treatment for them and all the detainees, because we hear news about ill treatment for the detainees, especially the youth. They are treated badly, they are eating them. Detention and things like that.
Detaining politicians without leveling any charges against them violates their freedom of expression and human rights, says Yusuf. Sudanese military officials were not immediately available to comment on this development. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, some South Sudanese in the diaspora add their voices on the conflict in Eastern Equatorial State. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do to conserve your energy when it is very hot outside?
I drink lots of cold water because it relaxes me. So immediately I become dehydrated or I feel hot. I take in more cold water, yes, and it makes me okay.
Well, I live around the beach, so on a hot day, I just take a stroll on the shore wearing a light cloth so that I can feel the sea breeze around myself.
If it is hot, you have to make sure that you get somewhere where it is cool. You go and bathe. Those are normal things you have to do.
When I'm at my home, I undress. It is my home. I have a bedroom. My home is big. Why won't I undress?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some South Sudanese in the diaspora are calling on the rival communities fighting in Eastern Equatorial State to learn how to coexist. Revenge attacks between pastoralist and host communities in Eastern Equatorial State have resulted in deaths of nearly 100 people since the start of the year. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Washington.
Revenge attacks between pastoralist and host communities in Eastern Equatorial have resulted in the deaths of nearly 100 people since the start of the year. The most recent attack left 22 people dead after armed young men attacked a cattle camp at Mugali in Magwe County, which spread to Nimule town. Lado Atima, a South Sudanese native who resides in the U.S. Midwestern city of St. Paul, Minnesota, says it is important that people in South Sudan learn how to peacefully coexist with other communities.
Coexistence means leave others to live and let others let you live. That's very simple. To coexist, I have to respect you, allow you to live, to be alive near me, and similarly also you do the same. You respect my rights and allow me to live next to you.
Atima says when people encroach on other people's land, there will be a problem, noting that trespassing on ancestral lands is a problem worldwide.
Communities should not occupy the land of other communities without being allowed to do so by the host community. If you want to live in a place, there has to be some form of agreement, and you have to do that through the will of the local person who is willing to accommodate you, willing to have you live next to them. Because if not, then that's a problem.
Atima says the settings of cities are different from the ones in villages where people live on ancestral lands. Joseph Moelinga, a resident of the western U.S. city of San Diego, California, says the best solution is if the pastoralists leave or if Nimule town is demarcated into different zones.
We've been challenging you guys. We hosted you all these years during the conflict. You know, my people have been very friendly to those in this community. You know, we intermarried with them, we have kids with them, you know, they live in our lands. We have peaceful without really calling. But the recent influx of the cattle, that the recent one has become the biggest problem.
South Sudanese native Fidel Deng, who lives in Nairobi, Kenya, says the current conflict is caused by the cattle keepers' constant migration from their homelands to parts of the equatorial region. He also believes there are deadly conflicts in South Sudan because too many people have weapons.
One of the reasons why there is communal fighting in South Sudan is because of the armed proliferation in the hands of civilians, especially in pastoralist communities areas. Since 2005 up to date, the government has been very selective in dealing with disarmament issues in Greater Upper Nile region. An example of such case is the disarmament of Nuer and Dinka in 2008, leaving Murile heavily harmed in the expense of others. Second, it is very wrong for pastoralists to drive their animals to farmland.
Deng says the government should carry out a massive disarmament campaign, especially among pastoral communities across the country. On Sunday, Eastern Equatoria State's Governor Luis Lobong teamed up with the country's security chiefs to convene a rally in which they managed to convince the herders to evacuate their cattle to Jonglei State to pave the way for reconciliation. They warned politicians against fueling the conflict by spewing hateful messages. But the herders have set their own conditions, saying they want to be honored before they return with their animals to Jonglei. One condition they are demanding is free transportation for their animals. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Washington, D.C.
We love to hear your remarks on some of the issues in this program. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We heard from many of you about our coverage this week of the opening of the Freedom Bridge in Juba, such as Martin Manuel Wugol in Numuli, who says, "Hello Nabil and Tanza. Road network connectivity promotes speedy development in the country. Therefore, I strongly urge South Sudanese citizens to use Freedom Bridge for doing productive business with East African community countries." Samuel Remo Inye says, "Hi John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. The completion of Freedom Bridge is going to have a negative economic impact on the country and offer opportunity to foreigners who will import the bulk of food commodities to South Sudan over the bridge. It will also let billions of dollars flow out of the country." Jacob Giorba Chueng in Ural of Lake State says, "As a citizen of this country, I can be part of those celebrating the handing over of the Juba Freedom Bridge because of two reasons. The bridge does not meet the international standard, it's just substandard, and there's no need to praise the government so that they think they are doing well." Mabor Alat Ringo from Rumbek in Lake State says, Hello, VOA News Desk. The reopening of the Freedom Bridge yesterday by His Excellency the President of the Republic of South Sudan, Salva Kiir, is a good move and will ease the coming of food commodities from our neighbors like Uganda and Kenya. However, our question is, will it not surprise us like the Bahar Ghazal Road that was washed away by only one heavy rain? Sunday Majak Dio from Walgak of Akobo West in Jonglei State writes, Hello John Tanza and the VOA team. Bravo to JICA, the people of Japan, and the leadership of the Republic of South Sudan for launching such a sensible developmental project that comes at the right time when it's needed the most. At least the citizens of South Sudan got to know now that the generosity of the people of Japan has outweighed the output of oil revenues being committed for development in the country. Saber Isaac Khamis from Yambio in Western Equatoria State writes, Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government needs to designate the area where cattle keepers all over the country should be taking their animals for grazing. Security-wise now, most of the conflicts in South Sudan is about the looting of cows and thousands of lives have been lost innocently during the exchange of gunfire. Justice and accountability is a must for South Sudan because lives are being lost every day and night in this country. May the souls of those died in Mugali and Numuli rest in peace. Guya Moses John, a South Sudanese living in the Bidibidi refugee camp in Uganda, says, The issue of cattle keepers are bringing headache to the Equatoria region, leaving innocent people dying like flies, which she stayed for 7 days on the earth. God bless our country of origin, South Sudan. Richard de Chafarendo, who does not say where he's from, writes, IDP herders from Bor should leave Magui County immediately without giving any excuse of transporting cattle back. Let them learn how to peacefully coexist with the host community like others have done. James Roy Madrok from Bantu Town in Unity State says, Hi Nabil and John Tanza, my condolences to the people of Mayom County for the tragic ambush that killed innocent women and children at Ajankwak checkpoint. Torolei authorities are responsible for such a barbaric ambush that killed 3 women and a 2-month-old child and 2 policemen. Almighty Father, may their innocent souls rest in peace. Peter Goj Anyang Majangdul in Walgak Payam in Akobo County says, The appointment of Martha Karua is welcome news not only to Kenyans and the ODM party of Odinga Raila, but to Kenya and the region as a whole, as it is the first of its kind to have a female running mate since Kenya gained its independence 59 years ago. I wish both presidential candidates a peaceful and fair election in August. Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Payam of Jonglei State says, Hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. I am very happy for hearing the urgent call for the US ambassador to South Sudan to request the removal of the 2 commissioners of Koch and Mayendit counties from their respective positions. The South Sudan government, which was elected to preside over the country by its people, may help its people from repeated brutal killings conducted by the 2 aforementioned counties on the Lur County civilian population. Garkwath Manong Chuang Kujik from Juba POC 1 writes, Hello Nabil and John Tanza. I am so sad for what has happened in Lur County again last Monday when youths loyal to Galwak Nyang, Commissioner of Mayendit County, and Kwang Nyalwango of Koch County, with full evidence the youths of Lur captured a bodyguard of Mayendit and found dead bodies of some who are close to Galwak Nyang who work in his office. Let him not deny it again. I would like to call upon the international community, President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar, to hold those culprits, those 2 commissioners, accountable for the crimes they committed against the people of Lur. Mala Daumal in Bortown says, Hello VOA, I wish our top leadership in Juba could pocket insecurity in the country exactly the way they pocket oil money. For sure, this conflicted nation can experience nimble peace within a week. The repeated attacks all over the country is precipitated by tribalism. Pongchu Nyokwai from Juba says, To me, as a South Sudanese citizen, it's really sad to hear everyday people of South Sudan are still killing themselves in Greater Equatoria and Greater Upper Nile because of cattle. I call on the presidency to graduate the unified forces in the training centers to disarm all civilians in the country. Ustaz Loboy Kalaman Joseph in Torid of Eastern Equatoria State says, Dear John Tanza and Nabil, The fame and fortune of peace in South Sudan rests entirely in the hands of those whose feet were kissed by Pope Francis, which include our 3 top leaders. John Makwaye Mwom from Juba says, "My appeal is to let the government of South Sudan do massive disarmament across the country. The killing of 18 people in Lur County and 32 people in Magwi County in many places is not good." And Mading Malwal Alwong from Malakal Town says, "Our common problems and challenges are not in the leadership of President Salva Kiir Mayardit, but our tribalistic mindset had made the country fragile." He says these include rebellion, corruption, political hatred, jealousy, gossiping about the regime, planning unhealthy things instead of us being agents of peace in our country. Let's join our hands together to work to correct the leadership of South Sudan by sharing ideas of how we can get stability. The comments reflected here do not represent the views of VOA or of this program. Thank you very much for sharing your views with us. Keep those comments coming.
Keep your comments brief and we'll sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Electricity remains very unreliable in sub-Saharan Africa. An intermittent power supply particularly affects the medical profession and the quality of treatment available to patients. Indeed, two-thirds of medical facilities in the region don't have reliable power, and about a quarter have no power at all. This becomes especially problematic when shipping COVID-19 vaccines that require refrigeration. As U.S. Agency for International Development Administration Samantha Power noted in a recent speech, last-mile challenges like cold chain storage, power outages, are causing millions of vaccines to be wasted and thrown away. The lack of access to stable sources of power aren't simply inconvenient. It can prove deadly. The instability of electricity prevents doctors from conducting more complicated procedures. It can inhibit their ability to provide emergency care, and it can lead to more preventable and unnecessary deaths. Solutions to these electrification issues, said Administrator Power, shouldn't be dependent on old sources of power like gas generators that make environmental and health standards worse. As part of USAID's global COVID-19 response, Power Africa is awarding more than $2.6 million in grants to 9 solar energy companies to power over 220 off-the-grid clinics. One of the partners in this effort is a Lesotho-based startup called One Power. In collaboration with a South African-based company, they are shipping solar panels to remote rural health clinics. USAID is looking forward to expanding electrification efforts throughout sub-Saharan Africa through a new program called Power Africa's Healthcare Electrification and Telecommunication Alliance. As part of President Biden's Global Infrastructure Initiative, this alliance will electrify more than 10,000 clinics in the next 5 years. These clinics will be built on reliable, renewable energy platforms and will be digitally connected, allowing them to better communicate and collaborate with other clinics and doctors in the region. Development solutions this grant cannot be done alone, said Administrator Power, so we are partnering with more than 20 members from the private sector to achieve this goal. This alliance will provide hundreds of thousands of people throughout sub-Saharan Africa with better, greater, and more digitally connected healthcare.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Bira Bira by DJ Arafati.
Yeah! Dana Lela Unique Arafati! Futuring Kodi Kodi Mash! Bira Bira! I'll see you! Bira Bira! Fetisu! Bira Bira! Itabiligo! Bira Bira! Fetisu! Bira Bira! Itabiligo! Bira Bira! Fetisu! Bira bira itabiligo, bira bira fetisu, bira bira itabiligo. Iya hajanda tero fidonia de ketala mine kota rabuna. Ageni bira fetisu bira, rabuna taki obu edileta. Mata aligo geli bataki fom fom, mata shilu iya haja guam guam. Ageni bira fetisu bira, rabuna taki obu edileta. Bira bira.
We have been listening to DJ Arafati and the song Bira Bira. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your home, phone, and vehicle. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Bira bira, itabidigo, ngachini kimadoso bodono ya.